Welcome to The Grow Show. Grow yourself, grow your business, grow your community. Here's your host, Gary Jones.
Hey folks, how are you doing? Now, welcome to this live where I'm going to be talking to someone who I've known for around 5-6 years, I reckon, on and off, mostly online, but I have met him once face-to-face, which is fantastic, based on our location. And this guy has been gone through an incredible journey. He's just launched something just recently, which I want to share with you today. So I'm going to bring in James Hutchinson into the stream so we can talk about Tasker and Shaw. So James, thank
you. Hi, Gary. Hi, guys.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks very much. It's Friday afternoon. So, you know, it's Thursday is our Friday. So Friday is kind of the start of the weekend, if that makes sense. Everything that goes out for the week goes out on a Thursday. Therefore, it's the start of the weekend.
Thank you so much for spending your weekend with us. And in that case, it's even better. It is. So for people who don't know what Tasker and Shaw is, tell us what you do, buddy, and kind of how you help people.
Okay, so Tasker and Shaw is, in a nutshell, a stylist-owned, accessories-led luxury menswear brand. So basically, it's a brand of my personal brand of clothing designed around accessories and designed to bring luxury kind of more easily accessible to people. You know, really good menswear is difficult to find. And if anyone's ever kind of shopped for anything from shirts and ties to cufflinks to decent socks or even shoes recently, either on the high street or online, you'll find it's either going around 20 shops trying to find what you want or 20 websites trying to find what you want. Tasker and Shaw is all about putting those things curated in one place, whether it be our personal brand or other brands that we've chosen to bring in.
Love it. So when it comes to kind of menswear, we were talking just beforehand about kind of how most people shop and most people kind of accessorize. Mm-hmm. Accessorize is probably the best way for me to describe it anyway. You might have a better word of way of describing it.
It's but exactly what the other accessories. So, yep.
But let's talk about it, because you throw it in. It might have just been a throwaway stuff before, but it's completely kind of shifted my mindset in terms of clothing and how I wear stuff. So can you fire that gem straight away to the people before we get into what it is?
No worries. So the reason why Tasker and Shaw is accessories led, and that's a phrase that we use that sometimes people kind of go, what does that mean? Well, what it means to me is that normally when men in particular dress, and women seem to be a little bit more kind of used to this and a bit more educated with this, but normally when men dress, what they'll do is they'll go out and they'll pick out a suit. And then based on that suit, they'll pick out a shirt. And then based on that suit and shirt, they'll pick out a tie. And then if the tie doesn't match the suit and shirt, then they'll change the tie. However, the tie is the thing that gives you your personality. So as you can see behind me, ties are more likely to be unique and personal to you than a suit. As a blue suit, it might be a beautiful blue suit, but it's a blue suit. It's not something special or personal to you until you add your own finishing touches. So the way that I work and the way that Tasker and Shaw works is by putting those finishing touches to the very front. So for instance, rather than start with your suit, start with your tie. Pick the tie that you want to wear. Do you want to wear something bright? Do you want to wear something bold? Do you want to wear something floral? Do you want to wear something summery or something sedate and calm? And then work backwards from there. So what shirt and suit goes with that? Might not even be a tie, it might be a pocket square, or it might even be a pair of socks. If you go, you know, today I want to wear a really bright luminous pink pair of socks because I want to bring a smile to everyone's face, well, do the trousers that I was wanting to wear, or the shoes, do the shoes show the socks off? You know, it's about looking at it backwards and thinking, let's start with the personality, let's start with your individuality, and then build backwards from there. And that's what Tasker and Shaw is kind of all about. It's about putting those accessories front and center.
I love it. And do you know what? As soon as you said it, I thought back to my kind of corporate days and my retail days where I had to wear a suit all the time. And to be fair, I had pretty much free reign in terms of what tie I would wear and all that kind of, and the shirt. But the tie really had free reign on. The shirt had to be a plain or checked or striped. That was in the actual kind of, in the operations document. But the tie I could kind of have free reign on. And not many times would I kind of do it the opposite way. I would literally pick out the tie and then kind of think, okay, it doesn't really go with the suit, I'll just change the tie. So, yeah, straight away.
The ties and the accessories, whether it be cufflinks or a tie or even pieces of jewellery, are your personality. They're the bits that are unique and individual to you. And it's just that we've all been trained and we've all, you know, been shown that the suit is, because the suit's the expensive bit, the suit is the bit that we focus on. Well, I would like, and I think people should start working backwards from that. You know, and in that way, that what you end up with is you end up with a look and a feel that's uniquely yours. The best way to feel good, or the start to feeling good, is looking good. You know, and what people don't understand is that so much about looking good is about color and shape, and about things that choices that you make. You can choose whether you look good or not by choosing the items and colors that you wear. So, for instance, my skin tone doesn't suit black. So if I wore a black sweater instead of a blue sweater, then I would look really washed out and really kind of dark under the eyes, and I would just look completely different than I do wearing blue. So my choice was to wear blue. But so many people don't realise that and think, oh, I'll just wear a black suit.
And do you know what? It was quite funny you mentioned that, because a couple of weeks ago, I was at a networking meeting and I was wearing a kind of golden hoodie. I'd say a golden color, very similar to the gold in the logo in the top, in that kind of corner. Yep. And we're there. And naturally, I've kind of been drawn to that color, and hence why it's in the branding and that kind of stuff. But I always like it to be a secondary color rather than the base color, because I find, because I've got a quite a kind of reddy pink skin tone, especially on the head, because it's bold, catches the sun really quickly. So until winter now, I've got this shade of head. It doesn't matter.
Shade of head.
Shade of head. It's a Friday afternoon. So in terms of kind of my kind of colouring and clothes I wear, I kind of try to avoid probably red and pink, because it kind of accents it. But I find kind of colours which are kind of bright and warm, like the gold, works well. And I was commented on a networking meeting that the hoodie really kind of suited me, and it really worked well. And it was the first time I actually thought about the colours that I wear. And it's quite interesting you say that. That again, it kind of different colours can bring out different tones in not only your face, but
100%.
Yeah, I've heard of, you know, studies in the past where colour has been associated with your mood as well. So I'm sure that's probably associated with it as well.
So I'm a colour analyst. So as a stylist, the first aspect of styling is to do with things like shape and you just kind of like types of clothing. And then the next aspect and the next element in there is colour theory and colour analysis and how colour works. And I think colour is such an important part, and it's a part that, particularly with menswear, that men are terrified of colour. You know, 90% of most men's wardrobe will be made up of black, navy blue, grey and white, and that's it. That's all you'll get. Even adding a slight pop of colour, even adding something, you know, like a red stripe in this tie, or in the behind me, the gold with the blue shirt, or if you're a bit more adventurous, the green and the blue stripe. Adding those colours really adds a real pop of personality and flair. But men traditionally are terrified of colour because they don't really want to stand out. Black is one of those things that about 80% of people shouldn't wear black. It doesn't suit their colour lining. But we've always been taught that black is, you know, slimming and it's really basic. The thing is that black is only slimming if it's used properly, the same as any other. Any colour can be slimming if you wear it and use it properly. So there's a lot more to it than just wear black. But the message has been sent down for, you know, the last 50 years, just wear black and you'll be fine. Part of my mission and part of Tasker and Shaw's mission is to bring colour and pattern and style to men, where they found it more difficult to access. Every member of staff that we employ, whether it be online or whether it be in our stores, is going to have our in-house stylist training. So rather than being a shop assistant, they're going to be an in-house stylist, and their job is going to be to help those customers and those people make good choices for themselves.
Love it, love it. And you're talking to someone who for years has pretty much only accessorized with his watches or watch straps. And I am the classic. I don't like black straps. I don't like what, you know, I'd wear a different strap every day of the week if I can. And to be fair, at one point in time, I had, I think it was 12 Casio watches, all of the same type, all in different colours.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic. And in my current kind of profile picture on most platforms, there's me doing a double thumbs up with a green Casio.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I kind of express myself through colour.
But that little pop of colour is obviously really important to you, and that little pop of colour helps you sort of that personality. You know, I'm obsessed with watches, and one of the watches that I wear most often, my daily, has a bright yellow face. and it is completely Marmite. Some people love it and think, oh my God, that's an amazing watch. And some people go, oh, how can you wear something so bright and garish? And you're like, because I absolutely love it. It's not an every, it's not a, wear, a watch that I wear every single day, but I probably wear it more than any other watch that I wear, because when I wake up in the morning and I think, what watch am I going to wear today? It jumps out at me as a kind of bright yellow, happy, joyful color. And it's a color that I really enjoy wearing, or bright colors and golds and stuff. So it's, you know, color and pattern are something that, again, particularly for men, are really overlooked. And it doesn't have to be huge things. You don't have to be like Ed Sheeran in that video for Bad Habits in a bright pink suit. You can just bring a little pop or a touch of colour to what you're wearing, and it makes such a difference, not only to you, but to people around you. You know, nothing brings a smile to somebody's face like a pop of colour, honestly.
And just quickly before we go on to your products and how you chose the name and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. if you don't mind kind of sharing all that, quick fire round for watches, just for us watch nuts. Favorite watch, best watch, and dream watch.
Oh, okay. So favorite watch is I have a Rolex Oyster Perpetual, which is the one with the yellow face, nice. Which was a Christmas present from my wife, and I absolutely adore it. It's my favorite watch. My dream watch is probably a Lange & Son. Or Lange & Söhne, one of the kind of perpetual calendars, which I would absolutely adore. But it's way out. I would have to sell an awful lot of ties to get one of them. And what was the third question? Everyday watch.
Everyday watch, yeah.
And so that would be the OP. My dream watch is the Lange & Söhne. And I think the thing about watches is that watches are, again, a way to show personality and a way to show kind of how you're feeling that day. And whether it be, I've got a Timex Explorer that I wear loads and loads of days, which is, you know, I bought it for $30 secondhand online, and I absolutely love it. And I've got watches that are worth thousands of pounds. But it's not about how much that watch cost. It's not about the brand of that watch. It's about what that watch says about how I'm feeling that day. And again, it's just another accessory. It's like, you know, it's like bracelets and jewelry. Just another accessory, just another way to show a little bit of flair and a little bit of personality. I think if there was a word that I would use to describe what's lacking from menswear, it's personality. I've had this discussion, I think, with you in the past about the corporate uniform of an open neck white shirt, a blue blazer, a pair of jeans and brown shoes that is now kind of endemic in small business. And it replaced the previous corporate uniform of a navy blue suit, a white shirt and a red tie. And the whole kind of thing about that is that just by standing out, just by showing your own personality, your own little bit of flair, you are the person in that room that people remember, or the person they want to speak to, or the person that jumps out is the person who has a point of view. If you go into a networking meeting, for instance, that's a really good example, right? And there's 20 men in there, guaranteed 17 of them will be wearing a navy blue blazer, a white shirt, a pair of jeans and brown shoes. And that's because 20 years ago, when everybody was wearing suits, Richard Branson showed up on kind of This Morning or Good Morning Britain or whatever, wearing an open neck shirt, a blue blazer, a pair of jeans and brown shoes. And everyone went, wow, what a trendsetter. He's like, you know, he's breaking the mold. He's like, you know, he's out there. And then over the last 20 years, that has become the corporate uniform. So the guy now who stands out in that room full of people is the guy that turns up in a three-piece suit and a dynamite tie, looking like he's ready to do business. And that's the people that people gravitate to. That's the people who people go, wow, who's he? Because he's someone special. It used to be the person that stood out, the person who kind of was different was the person who chose not to wear the shirt and tie. Now it's the person that does choose to wear the shirt and tie, or the pop of color, you know, because in the world of navy and white, if you're wearing something that's got a pop of color, again, it's a really subconscious thing. It's something that people will just gravitate to. You people will feel your personality come out.
Yeah.
And you'll feel your personality come out yourself.
Yeah.
You know, if so, here's a really good example. On that day that you wore that gold hoodie, I will guarantee that somebody came up to you and told you looked well.
Yes.
Not that you looked good, not that you looked smart, that you looked well.
That's what she said. Yeah. That's how she phrased it. Yeah.
Right. And the reason is that wearing the right clothing, showing some personality, affects how you interact with the world. And because you feel better, you look well, you look happy and well with yourself. So that's the whole point. When I say to people, the first aspect of feeling good is looking good. People go, oh no, but it's not all about looks. It's all about your inner glow. Yeah. But the way that you get that inner glow is to be able to stand there, look in a mirror. And it's not about being the best looking guy in the room. Very rarely am I the best looking guy in the room. If I am, that's like a really quite skinny room, right? It's probably a hospital ward of some sort. But what I am, as a lot of the time, I'm the best looking version of myself. And if I'm the best looking version of myself, if I'm happy with how I look, then I feel better about myself. And I'm more happy to put myself out there. I'm more happy to interact. I'm more happy to kind of engage. And that all comes from being able to look in the mirror and going, I'm the best version of me. And that's down to choices on color and shape and style, you know, and things that people don't even think about, you know. They'll spend... You know, and I come from a background as a printer, right? They'll spend 6 months working out what business card they want to hand out at a meeting, but they won't spend 2 minutes working out what outfit they're going to wear.
When you put it like that, it's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. And straight after this, I'm going to order this T-shirt in quite a few different colours. I was already going to decide I was going to do some fresh, get a fresh T-shirt order ready for kind of face stuff. But nah, stuff it. Let's go colours. Let's go a few colours. And yet, it could, yeah, I think that could, that's definitely on the cards. Definitely on the cards. I'm a big cycling fan. So you've got the Giro, the Vuelta, and the Tour de France coming up over the next few months. I'm going to theme it with that. Why not?
Fabulous.
So awesome. It'll be a gold, a pink, and a red.
Or fabulous.
Red based on my skin. Well, I don't know. We'll play it by ear. Play it by ear. I might just change it.
What I would maybe do is based on your skin tone is rather than going for a bright, like a really solid bright red, go for more of a kind of like a burgundy kind of cherry red. That'll work a lot better with you.
I was thinking, my first thought was kind of a dark green and a dark red. So burgundy and that kind of sage.
That would be my idea.
Sweet. So let's talk about Tasker and Shaw because the name fascinates me because I don't know where it's from. I don't know where the initial idea
is. It's the first question I always get asked.
Exactly. So tell us where it kind of came from and where did you first have your idea about this?
Okay, so those are two completely different things. So we'll start with the name and then we'll work out why Tasker and Shaw happened. So when I decided that I was starting the menswear brand, I kind of thought, what are we going to call it? And nowadays, most new businesses have kind of like these really bizarre names, right? So it's like one word and it kind of doesn't really mean anything and it will be called Intrubu or Falamar or something, right? It doesn't really mean much. And that wasn't really the feeling that I wanted because it isn't based around a brand new cutting edge, you know, it's based around traditional men's styling. So the thing that I draw a definition between is between fashion and style. So the way that I draw that definition is that fashion is always borrowed for a season. It belongs to someone else. It belongs to the brands. It belongs to, you know, couture and YouTube and Instagram. And that's where fashion's owned. And we borrow it for a season. So we'll kind of go, oh, well, that's this season's look. And we borrow that season. Style is something that you own. And when you understand what your personal style is, then you own that for the whole of your life. So it's not a cutting edge, brand new, like this minute, snap of fingers kind of thing. It's about finding what's your style and it belongs to you forever. So I wanted something that spoke to timeless, elegant, lifelong style. And that brought me to think of the two people in my life who I think have been the most dapper, stylish men that I've ever met. And the first one was my grandpa, George Shaw, who every time you saw my grandpa, now my grandpa was an engineer. He did not have a clean job. However, his nails were always spotless and he always had on a shirt and tie. And a lot of the time, the tie was tucked into his top button so that he could kind of do his job and work in with machinery, but he always looked incredibly dapper. And the second one was Mr. Tasker, who was a teacher of mine in high school. And again, if I was to think of the epitome of dapper style, Mr. Tasker was the one person that jumped out. So when it came to finding a name, I wanted a name that spoke to heritage and history and sounded like it'd been about for 200 years. And those two names, Mr. Tasker and my grandpa Shaw, jumped out at me. So Tasker and Shaw was born. And it's the opposite of, you know, these brands who have chosen to come up with, like, you know, their own word to sound like, you know, like they're about to be a rocket launched into space. That's not what Tasker and Shaw is about. It's about timeless style and about heritage of menswear.
Love it. And the when I think of Tasker and Shaw, my first, without knowing the brand, it does speak heritage. It does speak kind of classic. That it rings that kind of that. Even if you don't haven't even seen the range, that's what it speaks to in my mind. It also is a very good universal name, which actually is quite recognizable in most places as well. So it is a cracking name.
It's one of those things that when you hear the name Tasker and Shaw, you think they're going to be an accountant, a solicitor, or a menswear brand.
Well, there is that. my second thought was I could see it as a kind of solicitor's quite happily. And you just see someone saying, "Hello, I work for Tasker and Shaw, and we can protect you for, you know," and go from there. But it is, that's not what immediately springs to mind. It is the kind of that classic, I wouldn't even say kind of old fashioned, very classic tailored. And that's kind of
what a gentleman's outfitter would be the word that would kind of, yeah.
Gentleman outfitters, perfect. And
so we call, so our shops aren't going to be called shops, they're going to be called gentlemen's emporiums. And it's the same thing. It's the whole point is that to me, a shop just speaks to you walk in and it's a plain white box full of reels of clothing. Our stores are going to be something different. They're kind of an experience. You know, we've worked very hard. You know, the walls are painted navy blue. The clothes and the accessories are kind of laid out in a way that is much more kind of hands on. You know, we have a wall of ties in each of our stores. We'll have a wall of ties, and that wall of ties has the ties kind of displayed there, where you can kind of see them against other colors. You can pick them up. You can touch them. You know, it's. The whole concept of it is that it's not about another white box full of another reels of clothing. It's about something different. It's about something a little bit deeper and something where not only will men feel comfortable to come and shop, where people who buy for men will also feel comfortable to come and shop as well, or just hang out. You know, I don't know, Gary, if you've been like me where, you know, you've been out shopping with your other half. And after about 25 or 30, now I love shopping, right? Let's not get this wrong. I'm a stylist. I shop for a living, right? But my wife can still outshop me 10 to 1, right? So there will be a point in the day where I'm like, oh, I'm done now. The whole concept is that maybe at that point I would go into a Tasker and Shaw Emporium and just go in and just have a browse and a mooch about. And it feels like a kind of comfortable masculine space where, you know, there'll be something interesting, whether it be an accessory, whether it be an item of clothing. You know, the plan is also to start having some kind of small man cave stuff, you know, little bits and pieces and that kind of speak to kind of a gentleman's life. You know, things like we sell things like watch rolls and watch accessories, and it's, you know, it's about just kind of having a place that's more than a shop. And that's kind of the vibe that we've gone for. And I think you'd also talked about the start of Tasker and Shaw, and I think that's where it came from. It came from the fact that you've known me a few years, so you know that about 4 and a bit years ago, I lost a load of weight. I lost just under 9 stone in weight. I was a really big guy. I think what I actually was I was diabetes waiting to happen at the time. And granted, I've put a little bit back on in lockdown because the fridge was my friend. And you know what? I didn't shift that weight initially overnight, so I've not shifted it back off overnight again. But I'm winning the battle. And when I lost all that weight, I started to actually, rather than being in a position where I kind of wore what fitted me, I started looking at what I wanted to wear, how I wanted to look, how the new me, fundamentally, which is what it was, interacted with the world. And I really struggled to find things that I wanted to wear, things that that fitted me, that spoke to me, that looked good. And then I kind of looked online and I really struggled to find places for advice. If I was 22 and a 30-inch waist and 6'1" tall, then there was loads of stuff out there. There was all the kind of fashion channels and all the fashionistas on Instagram and on YouTube. If I was 65 or 70 and I wanted to grow gracefully, disgracefully, sorry, there were loads of places about how to like kind of like change your look as an octogenarian and all that stuff. But as a guy who was 40 and kind of was just wanting to change my style. There was nothing out there. And I kind of thought, you know, I'd go shopping and I'd have to go to 5, 10, 12 shops. I'd spend an entire day in a big shopping center trying to find, you know, a range of things that I wanted to wear that I liked. And I kind of decided, you know what, there's got to be an opportunity to put that stuff in one place. So really, Taskin and Shaw is kind of born from my desire to buy things from me. And I think if you can start a business, if you can start a brand based on things that you love and that you want, rather than going, oh, there's an opportunity there, I think it's just a bit more personal, and it lets for me anyway, speaking for myself, it lets me kind of inject a bit more passion into it because it's something that I am genuinely passionate about.
Mm. I still remember the day where I listened to you talk about the start of your journey. I don't think you were fully into you were just starting or going through the journey at the stage, but you came down to Leamington Spa from somewhere.
Was this the t-shirt? Was this when I had the big polo shirt?
You did, and you said about your story, and I still remember it as one of the most passionate speeches and talks I've heard ever. It was absolutely amazing. And from then, you were started, I think the monthly title started just shortly after that, so it was kind of in the process of becoming a thing. But that talk, I was in preparing for this, I kind of went back from my memories and thought, you know, what can I remember? And I can remember probably, the talk was 18 minutes long, and I can probably remember 12 minutes of it. It was golden. It was golden. Brilliant talk.
That's good. But it's good to hear that it's had an impact, because that's the kind of point of that. And that's the whole point of all of it, is to try and have an impact on people and on people's journeys through their own lives. You know, if Tasker and Shaw can help people be the best version of themselves, then that's a job done. You know, that's you know.
that's your job done, as you said. That's perfect. Now, if you've got any questions and you're watching this, even if you're watching this and we're not live, please put them in the comments below and I'll pass them on to James so he can kind of answer them. So if you have got any questions, put them into the comments now. I'm just going to read a few of these kind of little quotes out before I kind of go on to a few more questions for me, if that's right. We've been talking for 27 minutes, but I'm loving this.
I'm going to have a coffee if that's okay.
Go for it. So, Facebook user, sadly with StreamYard, we don't know your name, but you know, we've got a couple of comments here. You can't beat a good suit, and that's so true.
I completely agree. I think suiting is coming back. I think what happened was that during the pandemic, the world turned into this place where everyone lived in, you know, jogging bottoms and t-shirts and hoodies. And I think what everyone discovered was that, you know, you don't miss what you miss until you miss it. And I think people, you know, a big element of the UK and worldwide, because we ship worldwide, people are kind of going, do you know what? I kind of really enjoyed looking smart. And they were so used to it that they forgot until it went away. There's only so many times you can wear an elastic waist before you kind of go, do you know what? I want a really good belt.
No, you're right. And there's I'm going to two awards over the next kind of 3 or 4 months. To award ceremonies, and I'm gonna get a decent suit. And
we'll have a chat about it, right?
We will. But more importantly, I'm gonna be getting a decent tie as well. And I'm actually looking at ties more than I am looking at suits, because I know that whatever, and actually, funny enough, goes to your point before, I'm kind of going the other way around to compared to tradition. But I do want a decent tie, because a decent tie is gonna last me years and years and years. It's going to be brilliant.
Can I show you an example of something that kind of exactly sums it up, right? So this is a tie that's in our range, and this is actually a Liberty of London fabric tie, right? So the heritage of Liberty of London is that they design, they hand draw their own patterns. So these are all hand drawn, and then they're woven in one place in the world, which is in northern Italy. And they use a thing called Tanalon cotton, which is this really beautiful kind of high quality kind of coated cotton, which is stunning. And this is called Birds of Paradise, right? And this is an epic tie, right? There is no one in the world, if you wear this tie to a meeting, is not going to go, wow, that's an awesome tie. There's just not. You know, and whereas no one's going to kind of go, yeah, I love your suit, because that sounds a bit creepy and weird, right? What they are going to do is they're going to go, wow, that's a dynamite tie. And whereas you might spend £1,000 on a suit, and no one ever notices it because it's a kind of generic navy blue suit, you spend 35 quid on a tie like this, and every single person you interact with is going to go, wow, what an incredible tie.
Yeah. So two things. You mentioned the price, 35 quid.
Yep.
That leads on to a quick question that I've got is, when we're talking about kind of tailored and we're talking about kind of classic looks and all that kind of stuff and menswear, yep, gentlemen's outfits, it all shouts out to me expense. It does. But actually, does it have to be expensive? Because £35 for a tie, to me, it doesn't sound that much. But in saying that, I'm sure you can probably pick up ties for a couple of quid.
Yeah, so
I don't know where the line is.
So there's a couple of different things to unpack in that. So the first one is my kind of take on sustainability. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of high street brands, and I won't mention them, whose take on sustainability is that all of our stuff is made in a sustainable fashion, right? So we make the things that we make out of recycled plastic bottles or low water use cotton, or, you know, our denim is low water denim or whatever, right? But they're still making millions of items of clothing a month, and they're selling these millions of items of clothing a month, and the consumers are consuming those items, wearing them a couple of times, and then never wearing them again, or throwing them in landfill, or even hopefully, they're recycling them or donating them to charity. But they're still creating these products. My message of sustainability is slightly different. It's buy better and buy less. So rather than buying a brand new suit where you have the cost and you have the impact on the environment and you have the impact on that kind of supply chain of all of the manufacture that goes into that brand new suit, why not keep the same suit but buy a new tie or a new pocket square or change up how you wear that suit? So therefore, rather than having all of that kind of environmental impact of buying and making a new suit, then by buying something smaller, a tie, and changing how that suit looks, then your impact, the sustainability is so much kind of better just by changing one little thing. You know, we did an experiment recently where we took the same suit and we teamed it with five different looks and made it look like five completely different suits. Just by changing the tie, the pocket square, in one instance, putting a T-shirt under the jacket, and it looked like five completely different looks. So rather than having to buy five suits with the huge expense of doing that, and the impact of the environment of doing that, just by buying those five accessories, what you've then done is you've had the exact same impact. So it's more sustainable, less impact on the environment, certainly less impactful in your pocket than buying a suit, and also, again, the ability to put more personality in. So I'm not knocking fast fashion because it certainly has a place, right? But it's not where I want to be. You know, we are not the cheapest place to buy a tie or a pair of cufflinks or a pair of jeans. But what we do sell is quality products. We sell products that will last. And those products that will last will outlast a lot of other products, and therefore what you're doing is you're kind of investing in that look. So this Liberty of London tie, for instance, right, is a good example of that. Or even, you know, just another tie that's one of our ties. You know, these are good quality silk ties. This one's cotton, the Liberty one, but these are a silk tie, the same as the ones behind us, which will last. It will dry clean well. It will look great for a long time to come. It will keep its shape. You know, when you knot it, it won't deform. Even things like our socks, you know. So when we chose our socks, we chose socks that, one, not only have personality, but they're made of a really good quality cotton. They have a really nice elastic in them. They have a solid kind of cuff. So they'll last. So whereas you could certainly go and buy a pair of socks for, or you know, 10 pairs of socks for £2.50 from a well-known kind of high street sports shop, very quickly those socks will not really be wearable, or, you know, they'll have kind of had their day. So I think what you've got to think about is what the cost per wear is. And that's the thing that I use and a lot of people use to measure how expensive something actually is. What's the cost per wear? So if you buy a T-shirt for £10 and you wear it twice, then you wash it a couple of times and it's no longer wearable, then your cost per wear is about £5 per wear. If you buy a T-shirt that costs you five times that, but you wear it 100 times because it lasts longer, it washes better, it irons better, it looks better, then your cost per wear is a fraction. And I think certainly in these times when, you know, economically people are looking to kind of spend less, it might be about spending slightly more initially, but getting more wear and more use out of those products is the way to actually spend less, rather than, you know, and I think the world of retail is very much learned that when it comes to things like children's wear, you know, and people are now spending more on high quality, good quality children's clothes and children's shoes, knowing that they'll get more wear out of them, that they can pass them along, that, you know, they can pass them on to friends or relatives, that, or even donate them to charity. And it's not necessarily about the initial upfront cost, it's more about the cost per wear, you know, good accessories, the cost per wear is a fraction because you can wear a good tie for a decade, you know, and in wearing it for a decade, the cost per wear is fractions of a penny, as opposed to something that you would maybe buy in another retailer for, you know, a polyester tie that, you know, costs less than that, but you might only get 15, 20 wears in it before the threads start coming out, before it starts to look a bit disheveled and a bit worn. So the cost per wear is a lot higher.
Yeah, makes sense. We've got a couple more comments that I just want to kind of go through. So another Facebook user, love the Emporium, takes you back when dressing for dinner was a requirement. I can imagine that would be, is that standard practice for you? You know,
dressing for dinner, absolutely not. Do you know what? So here's the thing. Everybody says to me, do you always wear a shirt and tie? So I run the first kind of menswear brand that we opened was the Monthly Tie Club. And so people automatically assume that because I ran the Monthly Tie Club, I always wore a shirt and tie. So people that know me well know that that's far from the truth. Shirts and ties and suits and those kind of items really have their place. You know, they have, you know, a place. It's when you want to look sharp, when you want to look like you know, when you want to dress like that on purpose is their job. But there's also a real place in the world for T-shirts like the one behind me. Hang on. I'm confused, like the one behind me, or there's a place in the world for kind of, you know, jeans and a polo shirt. It's not always about looking smart. It's about looking the best version of you. And sometimes the best version of you for going out to, you know, like an award ceremony is going to be a suit and a shirt and a tie. The best version of you for meeting your mates down the pub is probably going to be a really nice quality polo shirt or a hoodie and a pair of jeans and a pair of trainers. It's about finding the best of those products. So you know what? Tash Grinshaw sells trainers. They are calfskin trainers, custom made in Portugal. They are beautiful, but they're trainers. You know, we sell jeans, but they're jeans which have this really innovative, incredible flex in them. You could theoretically do gymnastics in them. Now, me doing gymnastics in a pair of jeans is something that you're never going to see, thank the Lord. But you could if you chose to. But there's something a little bit special. We do chinos, but again, they're incredibly good quality. So I think it's a little bit like a toolkit. Your wardrobe is a toolbox. And whereas you wouldn't try and, you know, you wouldn't try and drive in a nail with a screwdriver, the same way as, you know, you wouldn't, you know, there are times when a shirt and tie is absolutely the best thing to wear to that occasion. But there's also times when a polo shirt and a pair of shorts is what you should be wearing. You're not going to go to the beach in a full suit and tie, are you?
No.
Right? You know, what you would want to do is have a really beautiful pair of shorts, really nice polo shirt, and a really good pair of trainers or sandals, and just feel your best. It's about feeling your best, and it's about dressing appropriately. So that's the reason why we don't just sell ties and cufflinks, because you know what, there's times when the ties and cufflinks aren't the things to wear. There's times when the thing to wear is a pair of jeans and a polo shirt or a pair of jeans and a hoodie, and in that instance I want to help you look your best in that as well.
Love it. And what all of this conversation, it goes back to one of your main points right at the start that I just keep kind of flashing back in your mind, and it's all about the flair. It's all about the little details. Doesn't matter if it's about the shop, It's about not even about the experience, not even about the range. You have thought about all those little details, and it's those little details which are going to separate you for all the right reasons compared to other people as well, in my opinion.
The white box retailers.
There you go. That's it. And you're talking to someone who's got 20 plus years in retail. So I'm very familiar with that kind of level. We've got someone else who's looking for some cufflink shirts. So I'm sure he'll be in touch.
Get in touch, guys. You know, tashgrinshaw.com. Get in touch and I'll definitely be able to help.
And someone else is going to visit on the RCN Congress Visits Glasgow in June.
Okay. You know, our Glasgow store isn't going to be opening until probably July at some point. However, if you're driving up, you can pop into our Carlisle store, which is just off Junction 43, the M6. So you can pop in. But get in touch, you know, and we can work something out.
So that actually goes on to a really good point. How can people connect with you? You've already mentioned your website, if you can repeat that. And are you on social
media? Tashgrinshaw.com is our online store, our online emporium. It will have a bigger range of products than our stores will, because physically you just can't have everything in there. But every single product that's on Tashgrinshaw.com is on there for a reason. What I was really conscious of not doing was just throwing a load of product on a website. And there are a couple of, and Gary, if you've been in retail for a long time, you'll know this, there are a lot of ubiquitous UK brand names who have websites that just have 1,000 products or 2,000 or 10,000 or 100,000 products on there. And it's just about capturing every single person they possibly can, right? There may be one person who might want to possibly buy a yellow pair of pants with blue flamingos on it. So we're going to put them on just in case that one person wants them. But in retail, and again, it might be something you're familiar with, and maybe something your viewers won't be familiar with, is that 80% of your, or sorry, 80% of your sales come from 20% of your products. So the top 20% of your products actually make up 80% of the bulk of your sales. So what we have actually worked to do, and the word that we use is curated. We have curated a product range which we feel are the top 20% of what we could bring. And because of that, what we hope is that every single product in there speaks of quality, speaks of style, speaks of kind of like timeless kind of gentleman's kind of garments that mean that it's something that people will love. And whether that be a t-shirt or a pair of shorts, whether it be a pair of socks, or whether it be a shirt or a pair of cufflinks, it doesn't matter. Every single product that we've put in there is in there on purpose, even down to our sunglasses. You know, so with summer coming up, and we've just been through and done our kind of sunglasses pick for the year, and every single pair of every style of sunglasses that's in there is in there to kind of to fill a rounded selection and range of glasses. Every single pair that's in there, we got samples of, we tried, we tested, we looked at, we worked out whether or not they'll fit different face shapes, whether or not they last, how they look, how they're going to look after they've been worn for a little while, and we curated the pick of those. So it's about the fact that the range that we have is very much that, is our curated range. It's not just a bunch of products that we've thrown in a store or thrown on a website, hoping that somebody will go, oh, that's for me. There are going to be people that look at our website and think, there's nothing on there for me. And do you know what? That's fine. And if that's the case, then speak to us. Send me a message. I'm on Instagram. We're on Facebook. We are on Pinterest, all under Tasker and Shaw. Tasker, not the ampersand, the A-N-D, Tasker and Shaw. And speak to me. And if there's a product that you don't see in my site, tell me why you think it should be there. And you know what? We'll try our best. We'll endeavor to add it. But what I also think is there'll be a bunch of people who look at our site and go, this is exactly what I've been looking for. This is exactly the range of product that we've been looking for. And I kind of know that because when I look at our site, I kind of go, this is exactly the range of product that I've been looking for in one place. And I suppose that I am my ideal client avatar.
And how many businesses have been born out of that idea and been successful because you've identified who your target market is, and who's better than your target market than yourself?
I think you can strive to look authentic, or you can just be you. You know, and I think rather than kind of trying to strive to be authentic, the easiest way to be authentic is to just do what speaks to you. And like, I'll be really honest with you, there are products on our site that I wouldn't wear because they're not me. They're not my color. They're not my style. But I can understand, I can see the person that they are for. And because I can see the person they're for, then it makes sense to have them on the site. What I didn't want to do was just to have 100,000 choices that then just make it really confusing to know what to buy and how to style. The other thing that's really important is that on our website, the live chat isn't just there for like the sake of it. The live chat, whether it be live and there's someone online, but if there's not someone online, it kind of forwards to an email and you can send an email and then you get an answer. The live chat is answered by either me or one of the other stylists. And the whole point is that if you have a question, if you're not sure about what to buy, messages and we'll help. Because it's not about, so one, an experience that I had lately, and I know I'm going on and I'm really sorry, but I kind of can't help myself. I was in a retailer recently, as a customer. And the thing is that as a stylist, I shop on the high street for a job, right? So I was in a shop recently and I watched someone being served by a member of staff. And the member of staff had obviously been employed to work in that department, but they hadn't really been given any support. They hadn't really been given any training. And they looked and felt really lost. So when the guy was asking for help, the member of staff was trying their absolute best. And I can't for one second take anything away from the member of staff. But the member of staff just didn't have the tools to do their job. And I think what was really important to me is that whether it be in store, whether it be online, that we're giving our team the tools to be able to do their job. They're going to get some stylist training and they're going to be accredited by us in-house and by me. And then we're going to do some color training and we're going to give those aspects of being able to help people make those decisions. And again, it all comes back to that very basic thing, which is to help them become the best versions of themselves. And when you don't have those tools, when your job fundamentally is to kind of like, you know, clean up shelves and restack products, when someone asks for that help, and we've all been there in a shop where, you know, we've asked a member of staff for help and it was like, it's like an echo chamber, right? You know, the whole point is that all of our team, whether they're online or whether they're going to be in store, are going to be able to offer that help. Because you know what? The experience that kind of formed Tasker and Shaw was me not really understanding what to wear or where to go or how to express myself in my new body, for want of a better description. Yep. So what's really fundamental and important to me is that in order to help people become the best versions of themselves, that we're able to offer that advice and offer that help and offer that kind of objective perspective for people, whether it be from curating the products, so whether it be the products that we choose to put on the site, or whether it be a level deeper in offering that advice. And ongoing, my plan is to offer also Tasker and Shaw styling services, where for people who want something deeper, for some people who want, you know, their color analysis done or a styling session, that there's an opportunity to have kind of paid styling sessions inside Tasker and Shaw stores. Because again, it's something that, you know, it's something that's not necessarily accessible. It's something that as a middle-aged man, you know, it's probably terrifying. In fact, it is terrifying to kind of go, oh, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to employ a stylist. Right. So see that look that's on your face now?
Yeah.
Right, that's the look. But if you can kind of go into store and you can kind of go, okay, well, I'm going to have a styling session. And it's not a personal shopping session because that's a different thing. It's just about helping you find your best style. Because personal shopping, again, there are different elements of personal shopping. There are different elements of about the motivation behind why that personal shopper is steering you towards the products that they're steering you towards. So for me, personal styling in its purest sense is just about helping you find shapes and colors and sizes that help you become your best self. And ongoing, that's something that I want to offer either on both online and in store. But initially, to be honest with you, I am like a nervous wreck just putting out what we put out. So that's the next level of
To be fair, I'm not surprised, because what you've done is launched Tasker and Shaw. For me, isn't just a clothing brand. It's not even it's not even, it's you. I can't even get the words out. It's you. It's those little details. It's those kind of, you're using all your experiences and ultimately you're building a product that is going to help people understand themselves better. And that is so important.
It is. I'm glad that comes across. I'm really glad that comes across, because sometimes buying a tie is just buying a tie, right? Let's not make it sound like we're kind of inventing the wheel or, you know, curing cancer. Sometimes literally you need a tie, right? Yeah. But sometimes, you know, a garment speaks to you. And I think what we've kind of got to do is be able to kind of we've got to be able to have both of those things, because being able to kind of access the products that you just want to buy just because you need something, and being able to also access the products that you want to celebrate or you want to say something special about yourself, you know, like, so again, I'm going to come back to this tie here, right? This is a tie that you have to wear, you know, you have to exude confidence to wear this tie. But then you can get something that's like, you know, just a kind of floral pattern that's easier to wear. So, you know, so some days, or behind me, some of these stripes. So I think what it's about giving people choices to be able to say, you know, today I want to be like out there. I want to be positive and enthusiastic and I want to be bombastic. And then other days people go, do you know what? You know, I've got a bit of a hangover, or I didn't sleep very well, or I'm a bit tired, and I just want to be a bit more reserved today. So it's about giving people the opportunity and the choices to do those two things. Because some days you just want to be loud.
And that's, again, how, and that's a different ways of people expressing themselves through what they wear, which is brilliant. And it's completely that. Do you know what? I've had a great experience today, and we've just got I'm just going to finish on this. Steve Watson's going to connect with you. He's put, hi, James, Gary and James. Great discussion. James, I'll connect with you. So spot on. So thank you very much, Steve, for watching. And James, do you know what? I'm going to kind of call it there, because we've been talking for 51 minutes. This is lovely.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So
I can talk the hind legs off a donkey about this stuff.
I love it. And we'll get you on again, because
I would love that.
You know, at least that way we can kind of share the message
more. Well, I'd even be happy to do is, if you had members of your community who had questions about styling, I'd be really happy to, if you wanted to bank up some questions and just do a Q&A session with me, I'd love to do that.
You heard it here first. Let's make it happen. James, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you so much for that. Please put all your details into the chat as well. So people can kind of do that, chat, comments, whatever you want to call it. But please do that. And for everyone watching on YouTube and the Grow community, thank you so much. We're going to be having lives, I'd say like this one, but probably not like this one, going forward from every Wednesday and Friday. Wednesday's at 10 o'clock, Friday's at 2. But Fridays might be more of a recap. We'll see how it goes. But James, cheers for your time today, buddy.
It's been an absolute pleasure. And thank you for the questions, everyone.
That's all right. And I'm going to leave it there, folks. So I'm just going to just remove James so I can finish it all off. But James, thank you so much. Remember, if you wanted to get involved with one of these lives, let us know. You know, let us know. You can message me either on YouTube, if you're watching it on YouTube, or via the Grow community. And remember, join us in. Join in. You know, this is your opportunity to tell your story and to showcase you, your products, and what you stand for, your ethos, your core values, and all that stuff. So thank you so much, James, again. Thank you for watching, everyone, and have a great weekend. Take care.
Thanks for listening to The Grow Show. With new shows available every week, if you know anyone else who could benefit from these powerful insights, please share this podcast with them. And don't forget to subscribe.